Or if you want to listen along, I'll be in Hebrews chapter 13. We actually were here a little bit last Sunday talking about the love of God. Just want to let you know ahead of time, after the service, if you have kids in the children's church, we're going to have our potluck out here. They're going to have their own food out there. And so you won't need to get them until you're ready to leave. They'll be back there until you're ready to get them if you have kids. So you'll just stay out here. We'll enjoy our food. And they're getting hot dogs and chips and stuff like that. And we found out that we cook all these fancy, elaborate things, and the kids walk by and grab a handful of chip and leave all the stuff anyway. And so we decided we just had to let them have their own potluck. And so the one thing that pushed me over the line was on International Day, I had something like alligator or something that cost me like $30 a pound. And some kid walked over and he just grabbed a big old handful of it. He grabbed like, you know, $15 worth. And then later I watched that kid walk into the garbage can and he took one bite of it, said, "This is gross." And he was throwing it all away. And I was diving after him. And but then I said, you know what? We'll have them have their own potluck over there where they have their kind of food. And but anyway, we don't have room for all of them in here anyway. So that's the way we do it now. And so the kids will be over there. They'll have a great time. And then afterward, they'll get their pumpkins. So, all right, Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve in the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Good, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll talk about Hebrews 13 here. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for our unchanging God. Thank you for giving us in written form what we need to know forever, Father. And thank you, the word of God abideth forever. And thank you for that. "The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the words of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The words of the Lord are as pure words, purified in the service seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Thank you, we have the word of God that is here for us forever. We thank you, we can stand on it and believe it and live it. And today as we preach it, I pray that your spirit would speak to our hearts in a powerful way. We'd be changed and transformed and become more like our Savior. May those who don't know you come to know you as Savior, and those who know you be drawn to you in a powerful way, and help us to have victory today and just understand what you have for us. We love you, and we thank you for this day today. Thank you for Old Fashioned Day. Be with the preaching and speak to us in a clear way, and may the Holy Spirit be in control now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see several things. First thing we see is Jesus is enough. He starts off with don't be covetous. And verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation," your lifestyle, is what the word conversation means, "be without covetousness." I want to say that's still in the Bible, thou shall not covet. And coveting means wanting what is not yours. Our society is based on covetousness. All of our advertising is based on covetousness. Is what you have isn't good enough, what you have isn't great enough. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you don't have the money for it. If you got to have it, you got to have it. You got to have it now. They put somebody else in front of you, so you don't you want to be like them? Don't you want to look like them? It's all covetousness. If you had this, I mean, you would look like this. And it doesn't matter. The sin of covetousness is so powerful that it doesn't matter that reality doesn't set in, that you're not going to be like that if you do that. They took some guy who's super handsome and super good-looking man, and they put him with a bottle of Bud Light or something else or some beer there, and all of a sudden all these beautiful girls are hanging on him. And the big fat guy at home watching the football game with his belly hanging out underneath his T-shirt is sitting there going, yeah. Coveting. Never thinks. Just it gives him a feeling that oh, yeah, that's it. That's the beer to drink. That's the car to drive. Look at that car take off. Look at it drive through the mountains. You're driving between here and Burger King every day. It's flying through there. So the guy goes and spends $50,000 on a car. Because you got to have it. Everything's you got. Listen, the Bible talks about covetousness, and it's a sin. The Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Every person in their life should either be brought up with extremely good parents who teach you to be content with what you have, or they should go through a time when they lose everything. Otherwise, you usually will never be content. Because when you lose everything, having a roof over your head and having food in your stomach is real good. And you're content. We need to be without covetousness. Don't be mad because somebody else gets a good thing. We're so covetous that if somebody else gets something good, we get mad because we don't have something good. Think with thankful thinking and think about what it'd be like if you didn't have the good things you have. Before you gripe about your car, think about what it's like if you didn't have a car. I drive an old car. I drive my everyday car is a 95 Mercury Sable. Runs on 5 out of 6 cylinders. Runs on 5 cylinders. You know, run it some more miles. Maybe it'll do that. My front end is messed up, and so it's been in a wreck, and it wears my front tires out pretty bad. And if you hit a line in the road, it just likes to follow that line wherever it goes, whether it's on the road or not. And it's got all kinds of little personality things. When you turn the lights on, you got to wiggle it, or the lights in the dash don't come on, and you can't see at night. And there's all kinds of neat things about that car. But you know what? It gets me point A to point B. You know what? The air conditioning even works. That's bonus. And my cruise control works. And I like that too. And you know what? I went without a car 3 months one time. I didn't realize how nice it was to have a car. Man, it's a pain not having a car. And you just say, you know what? My car's enough. I don't need to go buy a new car and lose $3,000 and I drive off the lot. And if you can afford a good car, fine, and enjoy it and praise God for it. But you know what? Be content with what you have. That's what it says. Be content with such things you have. And you say, my apartment is not that great. I know, but there's some people I visited in Haiti who your apartment would be paradise. There's some people I visit in the Philippines who live in shacks in Mexico. Listen, be content with such things you have. I'll tell you, if you can walk into your house and turn on the water and drink out of it, you are blessed more than a lot of the world. You know what the funniest thing? To show you how spoiled we've gotten, the funniest thing to show you how spoiled we've gotten is bottled water. Do you remember when you used to be able to drink out of a hose when you were a kid? And now, you offer somebody sink water, I'm like, I only drink bottled water. I only drink Divani or whatever, right? Did you know that somebody else's sink water? But you think it tastes better because it's somebody else's sink water. Look at the source. It's somebody else's sink water, but it's in a bottle. Did you know that bottled water costs more than the gasoline you gripe about the prices so much? Figure it out. How many of those little things are in a gallon? And you just paid $1.25 for that little bottle. It's amazing. They bottled water and sold you the same stuff, but now you can only drink it. You need to go walk through Death Valley and have sink water at the end. So you say, that's really good. Oh, it's amazing. We are so discontent with so many things. We've got to have everything just right. Be content. There's two ways to be rich. You can go and buy everything you want, or you can want everything you have. One of my relatives was, and they bought everything they ever wanted. They both made good money and bought every toy, every gadget in the world, and then they went in debt more to buy more of them. And I remember talking to them one time, and she asked about something I owned, and she started joking. She says, man, that's the biggest piece of junk. She says, you know what? I forgot. Everything you have, you like. It's a lot cheaper that way. And that wasn't an insult to me. Just be content. You're above ground. That's a good day. You have food today. You got lots of it back there. You have clothing? I've been where they didn't have clothing because they're too poor. Kids are walking around naked. And you know what? We need to throw some of our clothes away because we don't have room for them anymore. You know when you have to do this in your drawer? It's time to go to the thrift store and return some things. Thrift store, it's just old secondhand thing. Never mind. And you go take your... we have too many clothes. Honey, you ain't never going to fit into it again. It's time we go... And yet we still gripe about our clothes. Be content with such things you have. Why? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do not covet, but be content. Why? Because he has said, I will never leave thee or nor forsake thee. Why does Jesus saying, I will never leave you, make you say, don't be content? Be content and be happy with the things you have. Why is that associated? Why is it in the same sentence and why is it in the same verse? Why does it say, don't be covetous and be content with the things you have? For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Very simple. Jesus is enough. Can I tell you, if you got Jesus, you got all you need. Your food and raiment, he promises he will always take care of it. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God will take care of you if you'll serve him. If you have Jesus, you'll be taken care of in life. You'll always have the clothing you need. This nice suit I'm wearing, oh, that's right. It's old-fashioned day. Hallelujah. The suits I have and the clothes I have are kings didn't used to wear the stuff we get to wear. You understand? We have such nice material. It can get warm. It's not itchy. I mean, now they got really fancy stuff. The stuff that breathes and doesn't get wet on the inside and outside. We got nice stuff. Matter of fact, I paid less for cars than I could pay for a coat nowadays, some of those things. This thing scratches your back. It blows air conditioning on your body. I mean, they do all kinds of things, these coats nowadays, these shirts. They're lightweight. They're this and that. We have so many good things. And yet we want so much more. If you will put God first, if you have Jesus in your life, if you have Jesus, you've got eternal life. You've got a Father who will provide for you. And it doesn't matter. I want to say it doesn't matter if the economy collapses. It doesn't matter if we go into depression. God will still be able to take care of you if you put him first. Jesus is enough. He's a friend that'll never leave you. Be content. Don't covet things you don't have. Be content with what you have. Count your blessings. Can you walk today? Can you see today and hear? Count your blessings and be content and say, I've got Jesus my Savior. I'm blessed. That's all I need. Jesus is enough. You don't have to have everything the world's telling you. Quit listening to that. You got to have more. You got to have this. You got to have that. You need food and raiment, the Bible says, and be content with that. Raiment's covering food. That's all you got to have. And by the way, you don't have to have great food. We have all kinds of great food back there, but you know, if you invite people over to your house, you're going to find out. You got to dance through hoops because, that's not my favorite. I only like this. That's not my favorite dressing. I only like this in my burger. Oh, no guacamoles. Add extra onions. I mean, it's... They need to go and have bread and butter for a while. You ever try to feed a kid today? We'll have somebody drop the kid off at our house or we'll be there with a kid. Oh, you know what? I only will have the hot dog if you cut it in half and put it on one bun, but it's got to be on bread and only white bread. I mean, they've got so many rules. Oh, I only eat Kraft macaroni and cheese. Now, only if you put cheese on top. And it's got to be mozzarella. I mean, people got to have everything just right in their food. You know, if you have a hunk of bread today and you can eat and get enough to drink, you're fine. You don't have to have everything just great and perfect and wonderful. Somehow people survive on fish and rice around the world. That's all they eat every day. And by the way, can you teach your kids that, please? You know what you do? You put the food in front of your kid, and if they don't eat it, they're hungry. Well, what am I going to do? Trying to get to starve to death. You can go 20 days, I bet, before they starve to death. And guess what? If you don't feed them long enough, everything starts looking good. Give them a day. They'll like that food eventually. We leave the same food for them if they gripe about it. They'll eat it the next morning. Time for breakfast. Okay, we reach in the fridge. Okay, here's your peanut butter and jelly from yesterday. Be content with food and raiment. Just enjoy the blessings that you have. Count your blessings. Next, we see here in this passage that God goes through, don't fear man and worry about what man's going to do to you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, it says you can be okay in life because even with what you have is enough, and no matter what anybody can do, they can't really harm you because God's your helper. Don't fear man in your life because having Jesus is enough. Can I tell you, if you will just seek to please Jesus and not worry about seeking pleasing people all the time, you will find contentment. You're gonna find out you can't please everybody, first of all. You're going to find everybody can't be pleased. Secondly, you're going to find people want you to do some bad things, and you can't be afraid of what they're going to say about you or do to you. Please the Lord, and he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that's enough that you have Jesus with you. People who are with you are a bonus. The Lord is always with you. Enjoy the people with you. Enjoy the good people, the faithful people, the kind people, and their blessings. But you know what? Never let somebody threaten you into doing what you shouldn't do. Never let somebody manipulate and intimidate you. I have the Lord as my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The worst they can do is send me to heaven. See, Jesus is enough. You don't have to sell your soul to please people or because you're afraid of people or because people are going to threaten you. The Lord is enough. Next, in this passage, we see follow godly authority. Follow and remember godly authority. Verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's how their life turns out. Verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, so they watch for your souls, as they must do it with as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. It says, remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. I know we're in an anti-authority society. I know that. I know it's pounded into us all the time. The Bible says, remember those who are your authorities. And it says, who've spoken to you the word of God. I'm not comfortable talking about this. I don't like being in charge. I like being behind the scenes and nobody knowing I'm there. But it's what the Bible says here. And it's in the passage. Those who speak the word of God should have some authority in your life, it says. And they watch for your souls. They're trying to keep you safe. God puts that authority in your life to help you. So remember them. Seek counsel. Listen to the authority in your life that God gives you, and praise God. I've always done that. I still call and get advice from wise men of God. And why? Because I want God's perspective. I want godly counsel. And the Bible says to do that. Now we don't like doing that, and boy, we make a lot of bad decisions because we don't do that. Always get a godly perspective on things. And if your pastor or your parent or a spiritual authority that God's put in your life says no, then don't do it. Don't do it. It says obey them. And I know if you're get some word who tells you to do something immoral or against the Bible, then you don't do it. You follow God. I know that. But outside of that, it says remember them. Next, I want to talk about and really focus on is Jesus never changes. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It goes along with Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews chapter 1, again, and it talks about how unchangeable God is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me go to verse 11. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You know what it's saying there? It's talking about the universe there and all of creation, the galaxies, the solar systems, and all throughout space. It says they are out there, and they someday God is going to go and fold them up like an old piece of clothing when it's done. It says God someday is going to take the whole universe, all the billions of light years away. He's going to take it all, just fold it up like an old garment and get rid of it. And he's going to say the same. That's how unchanging God is. You see this universe and how big it is and how vast it is. And God says, it's just a little thing I'll fold up and put away. It's just a little spot in my eternity. And I never change. We think of the sun and the earth and we think how everything's kind of the same and the galaxies all look the same. And the stars are in the same place. And you know what? They are compared to mankind. But you know what? Compared to God, God, thou art the same. I used to always pray as a teenager. I used to always lay kind of facing the west, and up to the west and north is the Big Dipper up there. And the Big Dipper up there, I love looking at the stars. And when I go outside, I don't know why, but every time I go outside, and I pray at night usually, and I go outside when I pray, and I don't know why, but the first thing I do is I locate the Big Dipper. And I don't know, it's just kind of comforting to me to see it's still there. And you know what? The start of the night is kind of over here, and it kind of turns over this way. The two ends of it kind of point to the North Star all the time. And I look at it, and I say, you know, I'm glad that when I go here, it's the same as when I was 16, and I was looking up the stars and praying. It's still the same, and it's kind of comforting in a way. But you know what? God is way less changing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I say, one of the great things about God is he does not change like humans. Humans change in one of two ways. Some humans change in a bad way. They used to be good to you, or they used to be a certain way, and they changed. Something took them out of their character, and you used to be able to rely on them or trust them, and now you can't. And boy, that's heartbreaking when humans change. But it happens. Sometimes the best of them change. Another thing, but sometimes there's good humans who don't change, who are steady people, who are stick-to-it people, who you can count on, but you know what happens? Maybe it's your mom or your dad or your uncle or your grandparents, but they start getting older and eventually they change because they pass. But you know what's great? Jesus Christ never gets old. He never has a bad day where he just lets you down. He's never a different person. All of a sudden, he's a mean God instead of a good God. He doesn't decide, you know what, I'm tired of you. I'm leaving you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, the greatest thing about God is he never changes. He didn't used to say you had to do this to get to heaven, and now you have to do this. He doesn't say, you know what, I used to ask this of you, but now I'm asking this. I'm changing my whole opinion. He doesn't all of a sudden become grumpy and is nasty to you. Matter of fact, it says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are you not consumed? You know what? If I were God, I would have a bad day and zap a whole bunch of people a whole bunch of times. Matter of fact, I would zap me a whole bunch of days. But the Lord never changes. He's so consistent. He's so steady. And I want to say the great thing about God is God does not change. He still gives us his word, and he has the same expectation. He's preserved his word. And the Lord, you can count on him. I love when I have a human I can count on, and it's going to be the same, and it's great and wonderful. Thank God for people like that. But above all, thank God, I know who I'm going to when I go in prayer. I know what he's like. I know what he's going to be like because he hasn't changed. If God was good to you when your life was going good, God has not changed because your life is going bad. Let's try that again. If God was good when everything was going fine, God did not, the God of the universe was not transformed because you suddenly had health issues. He didn't change. He's still good. You may not understand what he's doing. That's okay. You trust in who he is, that he's still good. I'm the Lord, I change not. The Lord is good and doeth good. The Bible says he's a good God. He is always good. He never changes. I want to say this also. If he doesn't change, his morality doesn't change. And because you say everybody's doing it means nothing to God. Now, if you're not mad yet, you might be okay, but you might get mad now. God's morality isn't changing because everybody else is doing something. Because it's accepted in America. Because it's what the crowd's doing. Sin is still sin. Marriage is still a man and a woman. Don't care what the polls say. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And it ain't going to change. We love people. We love any... We've had homosexuals many times at our church. Treat them nice. They're fine. It's an abomination. Didn't change because it changed the society. By the way, a whole bunch of things are abomination. And it's not just that sin that's wrong. Lying's still wrong. Stealing's still wrong. Divorce is still wrong. Skipping church is still wrong. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. So, if the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl this year, but a Seattle team going to a championship only happens once every 100 years, is it okay to skip church then? Who said yes? Give me him. I'm beating him. Wrong is still wrong. If the Bible said, "Is I will set no wicked thing before mine eye, but it's not as bad as what I used to, as what other people watch." If Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me." If Jesus said, "I'm the only way to heaven," is there a new way to heaven? There's one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. What if we find a bunch of new religions and they believe it very sincerely? Don't matter, none. Yes, I can use that English on old-fashioned day. There's one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. He didn't change. Doesn't matter. He doesn't change. Heaven is still beautiful and wonderful, and there's still streets of gold. Hell is still hot, and it's still fire down there. Sin is still sin. There's still a good God and a bad devil. Jesus was still crucified, and he's still the risen Lord. It isn't going to change. Let God be true and every man a liar. What if I don't believe? The Bible says, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. This book is still true. It has not changed, by the way. That's a myth. It has been translated from language to language to language to language. That's not true. It was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. We still have the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. That it was translated into other languages, Russian, English, Spanish, doesn't mean we don't still have the original languages. It hasn't changed. It didn't go from Greek to to Russian, to Polish, to Czech, to this, to that, and then into English. It went from those languages into every other language. And when they find ancient text, it still matches what we have today. We can rely on the Word of God. God said He'd preserve it forever. We trust the Word of God, and it hasn't changed. The Lord hasn't changed. Your situation didn't change Him, but Christianity's began to change. Look, it says we're not supposed to be deceived here in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, where we just were reading, be Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good that the heart be established with grace and meats which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. It says, you know what? Don't be carried about with strange doctrines. Ephesians chapter 4 says the same thing. And verse 14, it says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men and the craftiness who lay in wait to deceive. Because God doesn't change, don't be blown about by different doctrines. So if God said that, you know what? Blessed are those who suffer loss and go through great tribulation. And if God said, woe unto you, rich, wail for the misery that shall come upon you. And Jesus said, I have not a place to lay down my head. And Jesus told the rich man, go give away all you have and sell it to the poor. If a bunch of TV preachers start saying it's all about money, is it all about money? Has God changed? If they say, if you serve Jesus, you're going to have health and wealth and prosperity, where the Son of God says, follow me and you might die. Take up your cross. Is it all about making you happy and making you wealthy, or has God not changed? That's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does it bother you that so many churches out there are preaching the prosperity and health and wealth stuff? I don't like it. Because when I preach it and somebody hears it who's been hearing that stuff, they say, no, I have sat in a church, a big church around here, Prosperity Church, and this is the pastor say, no matter what happens, I'll still be a millionaire. God's going to make you wealthy no matter what. I heard it with my ears. I'm thinking, Jesus telling the man who wants to follow him, I don't have a place to lay my head and sleep. I don't have a hole like a fox to sleep in. You want to follow me? The Apostle Paul talking about nakedness and peril and famine and not having anything to eat and all the suffering he went through. God has not changed. He's not about this world. He's about the next world. He hasn't changed. And so don't be blown about with the cutest new doctrine, the cutest new thing that comes along. Stick with the Bible. Stick with God. God hasn't changed. If it was true 100 years ago, if it was true that the martyrs weren't healthy and wealthy and they were serving God, then it's probably true today. See, God doesn't change. Societies change, nations change, people change, but thank God He never changes. Don't get sidetracked with obscure doctrines. Don't get sidetracked with things that don't matter. And that's this passage is saying here. Next, I've got to hurry here. Be willing to suffer outside the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, in verse 10 through 12, it's very deep. He's talking about how that it's written to Hebrew Jewish people, and that there are people who work in the temple, and they're able to enjoy all the things of the temple, and say that we have the sacrifices and all these things. And it said Jesus is a sacrifice, but those people in the temple who are still following Judaism do not get the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ outside the camp. With that in context, verse 12, it says, wherefore Jesus, that he might sanctify the people of his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but one to come. Really simple. He says, be willing to suffer with Jesus outside the camp, bearing his reproach. What does it mean? It says, when you follow Christ, you get a stigma from people, and you get mocked, persecuted, laughed at. You're not part of the crowd because you're not doing what they do. Are you willing to be alone with Jesus outside the crowd? Without the camp? Or would you rather fit in? Bearing his reproach. I'll just say, I decided a long time ago, you know what? I have one audience to please, that's Jesus Christ. That's it. My friends mocked me, made fun of me. When I became a Christian, my family made fun of me. We love them. They don't make fun of me anymore, by the way. They're very respectful now. However, when I first started serving God, I had to decide, do I want Jesus' applause or men's applause? Am I willing to suffer as a Christian and be made fun of? See, Jesus isn't always popular. Sometimes he is, and sometimes he isn't. Some areas he is, some areas he isn't. You need to be willing to bear his reproach without the camp, to be isolated, to be alone. One of the hardest things for me was when I was serving the Lord, and I really got on fire between my junior and senior year for the Lord. I went back to public school as a senior, and I had no more friends to hang around because I changed so much. And my lunch hour, I had to go be alone. It was great for me, by the way. Got away from the bad crowd. But you know what? It was embarrassing as a teenager not to have any friends. But you know what? If Jesus can be mocked and crucified and made fun of and all the things that he went through for me and my sins, couldn't I suffer for him and bear his reproach? Without the camp, bearing his reproach, I'm carrying that. Why? For there we have no continuing city. It's not this world we're living for. We're seeking one to come. And then last of all, I want to say, give the sacrifice of praise continually. How are we doing with the old-fashioned preaching? We okay? You can handle it? Okay, good. Good. give the sacrifice of praise continually. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, we talked a little bit about being content, but I want to go beyond being content. I want to be thankful. Thankful. We're going to have food in a little while. I was eyeing those ribs. What were they? Ribs. Baptized in barbecue sauce. Ooh. That's good stuff right there. What kind of ribs are they? Beef ribs. Let's pray and eat. No. But I was, you know what? I'll be thankful for the food you have. Be thankful, but go and be unthankful. Here's the thing, and this is what we don't do good at. I'm not just saying I'm thankful I have food today and I'm thankful I can walk and see and talk and I can have a car and I have money. But being beyond that, the last thing I want to say is don't just be thankful for it, but it says the fruit of your lips. You know what that means? That means you say it. You know what we like to do? We like to gripe. Oh, man, this is cold. Oh, it's taking too long. I can't. This is so dumb. We like to gripe. Griping is fun. I don't know why griping is fun, but griping's fun. But you know what? The fruit of your lips, the sacrifice of God is praise. Instead of saying, you know what? The food's a little cold. It's like, you know, I'm glad I have food. Instead of saying this piece of junk car, you say, I'm glad I have a car. Instead of saying, I wish my husband would spend more time with me, say, you know, I'm glad my husband's such a hard worker. Just finding the good instead of the bad. There's bad in there. I know there's things that we can gripe about. But why don't we just the fruit of our lips is a sacrifice to God, a praise continually. Just find the good thing to say. Somebody once said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Just find good things. Because it's continually the fruit of your lips. You're actually saying the thing. This is good. This is a blessing. Thank God. You know, people will learn not to gripe around you when you do that after a while. How about at work? How about at work? Instead of, oh, my stinking boss. Blah, blah, blah. How about, I'm glad I have a job. That went over good. How about everybody else should do that, but not me, because you don't know my boss. But you know what? I know your boss might be a pain, and I know your job might be perfect, and you probably deserve better wages. I understand all those things. However, can you make a sacrifice of praise and say, you know, I'm going to try to find something better, but I'm glad I have an income today. There's people without incomes. They would take your job. And so just find the positives. Find the blessings and speak them. It says, that's what it says there. It says, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And then it says, sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. How about we do that? How about, because Jesus hasn't changed, he's been so good to us, let's continually praise the Lord. You know what? God hasn't changed today, and all you need is Jesus in life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, can I tell you, he died on the cross for all of us and our sins, was buried and rose again 3 days later because he loved you, because he wanted you to be in heaven with him. And there's no religion that can save you. There's no church that can save you. You can't save yourself. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus died on the cross for you to save you and give you a home in heaven, and he invites you today to receive him. Maybe today you need to receive him. If you've never done that today, we want to invite you to do that and to give you a chance to do that. If you've been saved, can you be thankful to God that he never changes? Can you not compromise? Can you stay in his camp and bear his reproach? Can you be a person who gives a sacrifice of praise? He stayed good for you all of your life. He's as good today as he was when you were 3 years old and had no worries. Can you praise him? Can you love him? Can you give that praise? And can you realize he hasn't changed and just keep on serving him? And just realize if you just have Jesus enough, you don't need to be discontent. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God today. I thank you we get to preach your word. Thank you for people who are sincere and want to hear your word even when the hard truth is preached. And I pray today would be a church that would be content with Jesus and nothing else. I pray we'd just be thankful. I pray to realize you're a good God. I pray today if somebody doesn't know you as Savior, they'd be saved today. And you'd work in a powerful, powerful way. And during this invitation time, please speak to hearts and make a difference in our lives and help us to do whatever you spoke to us about. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed and our